Our scripture this morning is in Jeremiah chapter 2. You notice we're still in chapter 2, and we're not going to make it out of chapter 2 today, obviously. And what we're talking about this morning is living water. Living water. Throughout Jesus' ministry, he characterized himself and his ministry as living water. Living water. We're going to talk about the difference between dead water and living water. Because Jesus calls us to drink freely from the living water that he offers. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 5 through verse 13. And in honor of the reading of God's word, let's stand. Thus says the Lord, what injustice did your fathers find in me, that they went far from me and walked after emptiness and became empty? They did not say, where is the Lord, who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, who led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and of pits, through a land of drought and of deep darkness, through a land that no one crossed and where no man dwelt. I brought you into the fruitful land to eat its fruit and its good things, but you came and defiled my land, and my inheritance you made an abomination. The priest did not say, where is the Lord? And those who handle the law did not know me. The rulers also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal, and walked after things that did not profit. Therefore I will yet contend with you, declares the Lord, and with your sons' sons I will contend. For cross to the coastlands of Kittim and see, and send to Kedar and observe closely, and see if there has been such a thing as this. Has a nation changed gods when they were not gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which does not profit. Be appalled, O heavens, at this and shudder. Be very desolate, declares the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, to hew for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Let us pray. Father God, we love you so much, and we thank you for the reading of your perfect and infallible word in our midst this morning. God, we just ask that you would cause us to turn to you, the fountain, the stream of living water, and that we would live. Father God, we love you so much. We offer to you our love, our lives, and this prayer in and through the name of our risen Lord and Master, Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You know, one of the things that I was taught in my undergraduate work, because honestly, when I went into my undergraduate work, God had called me to preach. You can ask Angie. Long story. And I never thought that I would have the opportunity to go to seminary, and I did not know that Carson Newman, at least the religion department, was fairly liberal in their outlook at the Bible. And so I was attending UT full-time and working full-time. Young people, don't do that. Okay? Get your college done if you're going to go to college. And so God called me while I was a full-time student at the University of Tennessee. I had earned an academic scholarship at the University of Tennessee for the next semester. I'm going to show you my age. That scholarship was worth $790 for a full semester, full load, $790. I was going to have no expenses the next semester. And God had called me to preach that semester, and I felt like that I needed to get at least some kind of training in Scripture. And so I finished at UT on Thursday and started at Carson Newman on Monday, where my tuition bill was $2,300 for that semester out of my pocket. I didn't get those student loans paid off until Angie and I had been here probably 7 or 8 years. But even though my professors had a completely different view of Scripture than I do. One of my professors, Dr. Don Garner, was our Old Testament professor. And Dr. Garner was able to create in me a love for the New Testament. And to be able to look at, or the Old Testament, and to be able to look at the Old Testament and see the parallels between that culture thousands of years ago and our culture today. Life is hard, beloved. It doesn't matter the culture, it doesn't matter your gender, it doesn't matter your age, it doesn't matter where you live, it doesn't matter your socioeconomic status. Life is hard. It's even harder when we get to a point in our lives where we think we have arrived. I have accomplished the American dream. I have gotten everything that I need to get, and I did it through my own strength, my own cunning, and my own wisdom. That's what happened to these people. I'm going to summarize about a page and a half of my notes right here. All right? Because I obviously want to spend most of our time on verse 13. They came into the land, and God, in these verses, in verses 5 through 12, God is bringing a formal indictment against his people. And he's saying, look, I brought you up out of Egypt. I brought you into a land and gave you homes you did not build. I gave you vineyards you did not plant. And you have turned your back on me. And God then says, I want you to go and see, listen to me, I want you to go and see how the pagans that live around you are doing a better job living out their worldview than you are living out yours. Hello? And so God is trying to get them to understand they didn't liberate themselves from Egypt. They didn't find their way magically into the land of Israel. And yes, even though they had a mighty army, it wasn't their army that got the land. It was God's hand and God's provision. And God wanted them to remain faithful to him. And God, in this last verse, tells them that we either drink from the fountain of living water given to us by God, or we hew for ourselves broken cisterns. Verse 13. So I just skipped the first 12 verses, or the verses 5 through 12, summarized them for you, and let you know what those verses say. Verse 13 is really where we come down to. We come to a place where we have to recognize what's going on. Now, I want you to understand that in the ancient world, water was a big deal. It was a big deal. In fact, throughout Genesis, if you were with us when we preached through Genesis or during our time in Sunday school, you'll see that water was a big deal. And if you look, why did people settle in Greenville? It's one of our big draws, isn't it? The big spring downtown. They built the town around this source of what? Living water. Okay? Living water. And see, that's the difference that God wants us to understand. What would you have thought of the people in Greenville if the people that settled it had found that spring and they went, whoa. Somebody bring me a shovel. And they move about 10 yards away from it and start digging a cistern. And you came up to them and said, what are you doing? And they said, well, silly, we're digging a cistern. Why are you digging a cistern when there is living water right here? Let me explain to you about cisterns. I've got some pictures from Belize because that used to be a major part of our ministry. This is what a cistern looks like. We were down toward the end of the week, and my mom always gave me money for whatever God would lay on our heart, and he always did. And our team was out in Las Flores doing some door-to-door evangelism and handing out food, and I was off by myself, and I came across this in a backyard. You can't see it real well, but the water in that cooler is brackish. There's algae. It's brown and green. And I'm colorblind. And if I can see it, you got to imagine how nasty that looked. I wouldn't let my dog drink that water. And this was that family's water supply. A couple of years before, we'd been in another village, Mayamapan, and an elderly couple had been brought to our attention. Sierra McIntosh was on the team that year. And we went down there to see what was going on, and this family was using a fuel tank from a truck as their cistern. They had taken an old fuel tank from a junk truck, cut the top off of it, and then arranged this little spindly gutter to deliver water into a used fuel tank. And so we didn't have enough time to build a cistern, and so I left the money with Corey, and I said, "Corey, I want you to build a cistern for this family." Next slide, please. There's that cistern. When we came back the next year, the man had written on us, "Dios es amor." God is love. Because listen, beloved, I don't give anybody in Belize anything without saying, "I give this to you in the name of Jesus." Okay? And then you can't really see it right there, but amigo, Dios solo. Or amigo solo Dios. God is my only friend. God is my only friend. Two more real quick. There's a family, or there's the man standing with a cistern after it was built. And then there's another family out in the bush. That for you can't see it real well, but that's Terry Cobble on the left side of the picture. He was on the team that year that helped build that. And I want you to understand that a large part of the world relies on something like this for their water supply. Water's a big deal. I spoke with Adam Tolliver last night at the revival before we ate, and he was asking about water and cisterns. He said, and I explained to him, because in a lot of places you'll see that there'll be PVC that comes out of the ground about that far and then goes right back into the ground. And there's a tap right there. That's how they get water. You're not going to have a house that has water inside of it. Some of y'all are wondering, yes, that means that there's no commode inside. You have an outhouse. And you have to pay for that water. It's not free. And there was this lady we ministered to last year up on a hill. It's a pretty steep hill. And there was a water tap just a few yards away from her home. But she couldn't afford water. And so every day she would get 2 5-gallon buckets. And she would walk down the hill about a mile to a river I wouldn't drink from, and fill those 5-gallon buckets and carry those buckets back up the hill so her family would have some water. Now, this is a lady that's about this tall. Water weighs 7.14 pounds per gallon. You do the math. That's 70 pounds of water this woman is carrying up the hill. Water was a big deal. And God says to them, Jeremiah is using this metaphor to help them to understand the ridiculousness of what they're doing. Jeremiah is saying, you have a source of living water in God, and you are turning to this nasty, brackish water of idolatry. How did that happen? How did that happen? Let me ask you a question. How many of y'all have ever sat out on a lake in like a rowboat or a canoe? Did it stay right where it was when you stopped paddling? It did not. Because what do you have to do to drift? Absolutely nothing. You just have to stop trying. And that's what had happened in Judah. They had stopped trying. They were no longer interested in what God was doing in their life. In fact, Jeremiah even said, the priest did not say, "Where is the Lord?" And those who handle the law did not know me. All they had to do was just to stop paying attention to God's activity in their life. And they began drifting. And so you've got where they got over here just a little bit. They drifted and, you know, they kind of felt comfortable with that. It's kind of like you being out on the lake. You're in that rowboat and, you know, you just kind of drifting along and you look up, you want to make sure you still recognize where you are, right? And then you say, okay, I'm good, and you go back to just kind of chilling a little bit, and boat drifts a little further. You look around and you can still see what looks like the tree that was next to where you took off from, and so you're good, and you drift a little bit further. And then finally, you hear this roar that is overwhelming and you realize that you're approaching the dam and you're in danger. And that's what happened in Judah's life. It's not that they woke up one morning and they just kind of drifted away from, you know, they said, you know what would be an amazing idea today? We're just going to completely turn our back on God. It was that they began drifting a little bit and a little bit and a little bit, and then a mission team from Baal showed up at their door. And they began presenting their worldview to the people of God. And of course, they began asking questions. Well, listen, our God says we got to do this, this, and that. What does Baal say? And the Baal missionaries go, we don't have to do anything like that. Really? Our God says we got to tithe. Does Baal say that? No, your money's yours. You can do whatever you want to with it. Our God says that we have to be pure. And the Baal missionaries say, well, listen, y'all ought to come to one of our worship services. I'm not going to go any further into that. And to these people that had drifted far enough away from the Word of God, that sounded like something that was just absolutely amazing to them. And so they said, listen, Mama and Daddy, or Grandmother and Granddaddy, they were followers of Yahweh. We can't completely turn our back on Him. So we're going to add Baal. And we'll throw most of our energy into Baal. And that's what they did. They began worshiping an empty cistern. Psalm 36:9 says, for with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light, or we see life. See, they had tried to find satisfaction in all of the trappings of the world. You know, a few weeks ago I bought me a brand new pocket knife. And I decided I'm going to stop buying these $20 pocket knives at Lowe's that are made in China. And I'm going to buy me an American-made pocket knife. Well, that's fine and good, but what's going to happen? It's going to last me a little bit longer than the cheap Chinese imitation. But it's still going to have to be replaced. At the end of the day, it's just a tool. And we try to find satisfaction in all of the things of the world. And you know, it'd be tempting to get that pocket knife out and go, oh, that is just the finest pocket knife that's ever been made. My life is now complete. So many people in our culture find their satisfaction, derive their meaning from things. And God is saying, if you're trying to derive your satisfaction from things, you're never going to be satisfied. You're always going to be hunting. That social media post that you made 20 minutes ago that just made you so happy, guess what? The lifespan on that thing's pretty short. In another 30 minutes or so, you're going to have to put something else on there that's even better than the last one. Do you see what I'm saying? You're going to have to keep chasing, keep chasing, keep chasing. If you go out and buy, many of y'all know Angie and I used to have a camper. How'd all that start? Well, when we were young and married, we didn't have two nickels to rub together. We were poor in Job's turkey. And so I borrowed a pup tent from the church we were attending at the time, and we went down to the beach, Hunting Island State Park, and Angie and I spent a week in a pup tent. Hello? On the beach. Just in case you're not putting the pieces together. No air conditioning. Okay? No fan. Nothing. We were tough. Okay? And then we allowed that a pup tent was just a little bit too intense. And so we bought a bigger tent. And then the pastor of our former church allowed, he was going to give us a 1969 model camper. Ooh, thank you. We took that, it didn't have an air conditioner in it. And so I came home and I cut and put a wind air conditioner in that bad boy. Built a sink and all of that. And then we allowed that wasn't good enough, and so we went out and bought us a travel trailer. And then eventually our goal was we're going to buy a fifth wheel. That's why I've got a 10-cylinder truck over there, is so that we could get us a fifth wheel camper. Do you understand that that's how chasing after the things of the world is? You start out with a little bitty pup tent, and before long you've got $100,000 in this thing. Okay? That's how sin works. It's how the enemy works in our lives. He never comes to us and says, listen, he never comes to us and says, turn your back completely on God. He knows that won't work. He knew that wouldn't work with the citizens of Judah. He knows it won't work with us. And so he comes to us and says, you know what, just kind of back off a little bit. Just, you know, you don't have to go to every service, do you? One or two a year is enough. You don't have to give that much, do you? You don't have to share your faith with people, do you? You don't have to read the Bible, do you? Because that's the last thing the enemy wants you to do, is to read the Bible. Because he knows that when you read the Word of God, that it's going to tell you that the enemy has deceived you. The point that I'm trying to make this morning, beloved, is that everybody in this room is thirsty. We are all thirsty. We want our lives to count for something. We want our lives to mean something beyond our grave. Listen, you've heard me preach in the past, that especially at a funeral, that on every tombstone there's the year you were born, the year you died, and a dash. And what we don't talk about a lot of is the dash, because the dash is where life was lived. What I want to tell you is that on my tombstone, I want a dash after the year I died. Amen? Amen? Because if there's not a dash after the year I died, there's something bad wrong. That I didn't live the kind of life that God called me to live. That there was no lasting impact. My life really counted for nothing. See, beloved, we're all thirsty, and Jesus says, come unto me, and I will give you rest. Pascal said that human beings are peculiar in that they pursue ends they know will bring them no satisfaction, gorge themselves with food that cannot nourish, and with pleasures that cannot please. We live in a culture that is living out what Pascal said. They have pretend relationships. They pursue things that they know are not going to bring them any lasting pleasure. They protect themselves from really feeling. They seek thrills vicariously. What good does it do to watch me, or for me to watch somebody ride on a roller coaster, on the world's best roller coaster? Well, it doesn't do me any good at all. I can't feel it. I can't understand what that roller coaster was like. That's why I never understood the virtual pets, you know, pet rocks and stuff. I mean, the only thing good about a pet rock is you don't have to feed it, amen? And it's not going to die on you because it's already dead, but that's a whole other sermon. Everybody that you see in our culture is a broken cistern, beloved. And God calls us to get involved in their lives and tell them you are living and building a broken cistern. Jude describes them this way in verses 12 and 13. He says, these are the men who are hidden reefs in your love feast when they feast with you without fear. Hello? How could men that are hidden reefs feast with us without fear? Well, number one, they're not afraid of God. But number two, the church has never done a good enough job that they would, that's a whole other sermon, caring for themselves, clouds without water, carried along by winds, autumn trees without fruit, doubly dead, uprooted, wild waves of the sea, casting up their own shame like foam, wandering stars for whom the black darkness has been reserved forever. Now, beloved, if that doesn't motivate you to go tell somebody about Jesus, I don't know what will. Because it's telling you that the people you come in contact with are broken cisterns and they are going to wander in the black darkness forever if somebody doesn't do something about it. And it's all so unnecessary. C.S. Lewis said, the only thing Christianity cannot be is moderately important. You're either all in or you're all out. It cannot just be one of the many things on your list. It is the list, or it is nothing. Consider the cost carefully of living for God, but consider also the cost of living a life without God. Turn your life around by saying with the psalmist from Psalm 63:1, O God, you are my God. I shall seek you earnestly. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. The invitation this morning is very simple, and it comes from Jesus himself in John 7:37. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Are you thirsty this morning? If you are, will you come and drink from the fountain of living water?